Good morning and welcome to Backyard and Beyond. And this morning we want to say welcome to Danelle Meyer over in Omaha. Good morning to you.
Hi, Lamont.
Well, you know, food is always one of my favorite topics to talk about. And so we're going to talk about food because there's a special event here, this weekend.
Yes, it is. It's coming up on Sunday.
Okay. What's this all about, Danelle?
Well, this is the first ever Food Day, and it's a national campaign modeled after Earth Day. So we all kind of know how Earth Day works, that it's celebrated in communities all over the country, usually over the course of a week. You know, different communities have different events on different days. And so Food Day is modeled after Earth Day and encouraging events on and around October 24th, which is Monday. So Food Day is going to be celebrated in the Omaha area on Sunday, October 23rd. And the whole campaign is encouraging Americans to eat real, to expose people to healthy and affordable food that is produced in a sustainable and humane way.
So eat real. I'm not sure that I've heard that term before, but it sounds good to me instead of adding a whole bunch of stuff to food. And many of those, well, I could get off, but I'm thinking snacks are one of the things that can be loaded but could be real. You know, we always have choices, right, Danelle?
Yes, we do. Yeah, and really, you know, it's all about moderation, too, of
yes.
Striving to eat real as much as possible, but also not depriving ourselves of what we want.
Yes, that's very true. Well, what are some of the events happening around this day in Omaha?
Well, typically, the farmers markets in Omaha would be completely over at this time of year, and Omaha Farmers Market has extended its season one extra week, and so from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. at Exarban Village in Omaha, the farmers market will be happening, and so it'll be kind of everyone's last chance to buy fresh local produce, meats, cheeses, honey, baked goods, everything that you typically find at the farmers market. And then in addition to that, we have really rallied the troops, and we've pulled in a lot of different organizations to come in and talk about healthy living, good nutrition, sustainable agriculture, and all of the things that go into eating real. So we'll have a lot of kids' activities, hands-on activities and information, and we're even going to have some groups there encouraging people to eat real and take the Eat Real Pledge.
Okay. So that's all happening in the same location?
It is, Exarban Village from 9 to 1 on Sunday.
Just in case we have somebody that doesn't know how to get there, is there an exit off of I-80 or 680 or something that would get us there real easily?
Yeah, I think the easiest way would probably be to exit at 72nd Street off of Interstate 80 and go north for a few blocks.
Okay.
And then you'll want to then take a right to go back east a little bit on either Mercy Road or Center Street
okay.
to get over to Exarban Village.
Yeah.
It's where the old horse racetrack used to be.
And so a lot of people will know where that's at. But, you know, there might be a few folks who don't. And
so asking.
It's supposed to be a lovely weekend, so it'd be great to get out for a drive and share with all the folks that are there. And, you know, when you're talking local produce, I'm thinking also of all the squash and pumpkin and sweet potatoes. And there's just so much even yet locally raised food that's yummy.
Yep, and even, you know, storage potatoes and storage onions and different things that, you know, we still have access to. And maybe even some tomatoes that were picked before the frost this week.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that sort of got the plants. But, you know, I went out and picked a few tomatoes that were just hiding in there among the foliage that now is dead, but kind of got the last ones. Yes. Well, Danelle, I want to find out a little more about you. Because you are very interested in food, I think you have some really interesting connections to food. So let's talk about you personally.
Okay. Well, I grew up on a farm outside of Logan, Iowa. And my parents still farm corn and soybeans, and my dad had 200 head of cattle up until about last year. And I have been working in marketing for about 17 years, and a few years ago I decided that I actually feel more connected to the land than I realized, and I always loved gardening and that kind of thing. And so I decided that I wanted to be a farmer too. So
your garden kind of grew, right? Your garden kind of got into what we need to think of as a farm.
Yeah, exactly. And so I, this year, have actually come back home to Logan, and I've started a little half-acre, I call it a vegetable, you know, micro-farm, and I've been selling at the farmer's market while also working, you know, in marketing part-time as well.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you say small, half an acre, you can grow a lot of food on a half an acre. You don't need 300 acres to grow a lot of food.
That's for sure. And I didn't even, you know, I cover cropped some of it, so I didn't even have all of that in food this year. But it is amazing. And also I'm trying to learn how much can one person grow? You know, how much can I manage and how can I do that in an efficient manner and make it a solid business for myself as well?
Because I think some folks are really limited because some of those things are very labor intensive, but there are some ways that you can kind of do some substitutes for your own personal labor, a few special tools, that kind of thing.
Yeah, and it's funny that you say that because I think going into this growing season, I somehow thought I was magically going to hand hoe the entire thing.
Whoa.
Thank goodness my mom had a rototiller, and so I think the rototiller saved my life this year.
Yes, I would think
and
so.
And it's really about timing. You know, I mean, of course you have to work with Mother Nature, and you can't rototill at the wrong time when it's too muddy or whatever, but if you can get the weeds when they're tiny, then that's going to save you a lot of time and work.
And that's part of that whole planning in terms of the labor. I'm sure you use some mulch.
I don't, actually.
Don't?
Nope.
Interesting.
Nope, but I plant things very, very closely together, and so eventually things kind of just shade out the weeds once they get
Kind of your own cover crop in another way to speak.
Yeah.
But I'm sure you're still in the learning phase. What were some of your top vegetables this year?
Well, you know, what I really loved is that I could figure that out pretty quickly for myself, figuring out what I like to grow, what my soil grows well, and then also what sells at market. And a really hot seller, I mean, of course, tomatoes. You know, that's kind of a no-brainer, but tomatoes were really great, but onions sold really well, and beets, and cabbage, and I grew a lot of herbs, and my basil sold pretty well, too. So it was fun to see what would sell really quickly, and also kind of how the market changed over the course of the season, because I brought a lot of kale and Swiss chard early in the season, and I think people didn't really know if they would like it, and they would take it home and try it, and then I had people coming back repeatedly to buy more kale and Swiss chard. So that was fun to watch.
Did you provide some recipes with the kale?
And what's nice about I do the farmers market at the Welcome Center between Missouri Valley and Logan, and what's fun about it is it's got good traffic but not so busy that I don't get to talk to every single person. So not only did I have recipes, but I could say, this is how I cook it, and this is what I would recommend, and this is what it tastes like, you know?
And
so
that's
kind of fun to talk food and talk cooking in addition to just selling vegetables.
And I think that's one of the things that people enjoy about coming to the farmers markets and those kinds of things, because they do get to see the farmer and talk to the farmer and just feel a little more engaged with the food. I understand.
It allowed this farmer to learn a lot about what I should or shouldn't grow next year and what people will find appealing.
Yeah. So you're going to stick with your half acre.
Yeah, next year I will probably, I'm going to expand more, and if I don't grow food in the entire half acre, it will be pretty close, I think. And I'll just have to see if I can handle that from a physical standpoint.
Yes, it's pretty time intensive. Yeah. But I understand you also work with the Swanson Nutrition Center?
Yeah, it's called the Gretchen Swanson Center for Nutrition, and it's my part-time marketing job. And the center was started in 1973 by Gretchen Swanson to really meet unmet needs as it relates to nutrition research and food access and that kind of thing. And so we focus on four primary areas. It's local food systems, childhood obesity prevention, anti-hunger efforts, and then we do a lot of survey development and evaluation. And so we work a lot locally, but we also work a lot on the national level. Mm-hmm. So working with USDA and Feeding America and Cooking Matters, a lot of these national organizations that are involved in improving our food system.
We're visiting with Danelle Meyer, and Danelle, I want you to remind us one more time about the it's not necessarily local, but it is in a way, the Food Day in Omaha.
Yeah, Food Day is from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. at Exarban Village on Sunday. It'll be a farmer's market, kids' activities, and a lot of information about our food system.
Thank you so much, Danelle Meyer, for visiting with us.
Thanks, LaVon.
Until next time, here's a thought. Good fortune comes with a good education.